And so part of like one of my chapters, my little short essays is called Nothing and Everything. And I kind of thought about it today because I felt sort of like I did when I wrote this, a little bit dark and shut down and kind of numb. So how do I get out of that?
That's the question. We'll talk about that. Yeah. Nothing and Everything. Welcome to Embracing the Muse. I'm your host, Sally Fox, and I'm recording this episode just a few days after the U.S. presidential elections. My guest today is the perfect person to be speaking with in these times, the uber creative, adventurer, entrepreneur, educator, Jane Howard, beloved to many on the island and known as Island Jane. Although she's incredibly positive, in 2018, Jane endured a real tragedy when the Kilauea volcano erupted on Hawaii and left her property and most all of her belongings covered in 40 feet of lava. Fortunately, Jane is amazingly resilient, and she shares about how she was able to create possibility even in the face of a real tragedy and continue her most creative life. I have been so looking forward to bringing you my friend and creative extraordinaire, Jane Howard. Jane was and is known to many of us on the island. She lived on Vashon for many years while she was doing her nature, teaching, adventuring projects. And she left the island some years ago, but she's stayed an island girl and very tied to Vashon. So I don't even know how to describe Jane. I call her a force of nature. I hope that's okay. Because she's creative, she's energetic, she's adventuresome, and she has invented adventures both for kids wanting to learn science over time and for middle-aged women who want to see the world in a different way. And every time I meet her, and I think our friendship goes back about 40 years when I first met you through my brother, but every time I meet you, the question is always, what is Jane doing? And I am always so engaged. So just the real nutshell of a very diverse past, Jane has been a teacher, naturalist guide, mother of two amazing kids, amazing out in the world now, entrepreneur, adventurer, and she's known for gravitating to and living on islands. She earned her nickname Island Jane while pioneering ecotourism in the San Juan Islands in the Pacific Northwest. So right there, we have a couple of clues. One, the island part, but also the pioneering part, because you have done things with ecotourism and science education that wasn't what everybody was doing. So you really took ground, and maybe many have followed, but you were there first in many ways. So thank you so much. I've really been looking forward to talking to you.
Oh, it's a great privilege to be here, Sally.
Yeah. We're talking on the 7th of November, and the show will be released within a week. And as you came in, we were both admitting to being weird. I mean, what's the better word for it? Weird, funky, under the weather, who knows what? There really isn't a word to describe what many of us are going through in the wake of the dreadful elections. So I'm going to start with my hardest question for you. I remember when you were living on Hawaii and you had a marvelous house a bit too near to the path of a volcano. What year was that?
2018.
And in the huge volcanic eruption, you lost your house. And in that, most everything. Is that right?
Yes, and a car.
And a car.
Most all my belongings.
Yeah, and life as you knew it. And so I was thinking, because even though it seems like a diversion, a lot of people are feeling an enormous amount of grief, like they've been kicked to their knees and they wonder where life is going and something has just been torn away from them, whether you call that hope or what. It might not be belongings, but it also is a path to the future that they thought they had. And you lost your path. So how did you cope?
Well, I coped by looking forward and considering possibilities and looking to the light, if you will. Yeah.
And in the moment, because that's all great. And I'm so glad you could do that. And it's amazing testament to your ability to see possibilities everywhere. But in the initial moment, were you on Hawaii or were you away when the volcano erupted?
There were 200 earthquakes every day while I was away attending my son's graduation in California from Cal Maritime. And our neighbors encouraged us to get on back. So upon arrival, it really let loose. Pele decided to, rivers of lava came out towards the ocean, and I was in denial. I thought, oh, there's no way it's going to take my house. But a neighbor and myself donned a gas mask and headed in there to venture through clouds of steam and broken up pavement. And anyway, we got into our properties and she had 5 minutes and I took 5 minutes and we tried to grab what we could, but really, I wrote an essay about this. Actually, this is one of the essays in my book. Mm-hmm. What's important? Stuff? No.
Yeah.
Stuff is not important. Your health is important. Your safety. And actually, I was really blessed to witness the powerful nature, the power, yes, of nature creating new land. It's incredible.
In the moment, though, in the moment when you realized you weren't going to have time in your house, you had to get out, really all was gone. Tell me what that was like in your body. Can you remember, just, were you numb? Were you just on, get me out of here? Were you thinking of these things like the beauty of Pele when, how do we say
no.
Pele or Pele when mm-hmm. you were, what was that first day like?
Actually, I was kind of in awe. It was exhilarating. Watching the explosions, and it was adrenaline producing. I felt like a Rambo. I'm a survivor. I'm going to go in there. And, and we passed the National Guard, and they said, you're on your own, because we were adamant about getting in there and trying to get a car or, personal possessions like a passport and things. So, I would say it was one of just awe.
And then did that fade? Was there a moment when you began, when the awe, the adrenaline wore off and you had to kind of reckon with what you'd lost?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But I never, like a lot of neighbors, went to the victim kind of phase. I really just was kind of appreciating that now I don't have a whole lot of stuff. My life has just become simpler. I can choose my next path. Yeah. I can reinvent. And, aging is kind of like that. It's just like, it's a new art, a way that we can create new possibilities and reinvent.
Totally, totally. But it takes a certain mindset to see it. And I applaud, not that everybody's going to do it the same way, but to have the capacity to see that living lighter was going to open up some possibilities, that you were going to get to change roads if you wanted to, that there would be something else. To be able to see all that is pretty extraordinary, because a lot of us take a lot of time when we feel kicked to the knees by life. And we may know those things, but to really live them is a different deal.
Yeah, I like to think of myself as kind of a hummingbird. People have called me that because I sort of go to each flower and grab the nectar and hop onto the next and, bringing joy where I go. So
yes, you do. I have seen that over the years. And It's an extraordinary gift that you have. After the fires of 2018, you came back to the mainland. Did you know what you were going to do?
No. I knew, though, deep down that I needed a home. I didn't like the feeling of being homeless. So that was driving force, to find a place that felt like home and, you know, spend time with family or be close to family. And yeah, it was an opportunity to kind of reconnect with myself, to be still in that. And I've kind of continued in that sort of introspective phase, that chapter, taking up, you know, watercolor painting, which forces me to, because I have a lot of external, you know, I'm an extrovert and I have a lot of energy. And so it forces me to slow down and plan, but yet it's unpredictable. Watercolor, you don't know what it's going to do or how it's going to. And so that's the fun.
That's extraordinary, because, again, as I've known you, you have this abundance of energy and doingness and extroversion. So to be able to grab the opportunity to balance that with some quiet connection to home and watercolors and creating sounds like one of the real gifts of aging, or what you've gone through over the past years. Yeah,
I think it's richer. You know, I also kind of look at the symbol of a tree, and I have deep roots here on Vashon. You know, people have been great mentors to me, Darcy Beck and Pam Ingalls and yourself, Sally, for sure. I should be interviewing you, I said earlier. You know, it's deep roots, but, you know, each one of us, you know, we go through our seasons and we have a chance to renew and, you know, regrowth. And so, and then taking a look at the rings of the tree, they're deeper and stronger. And so, mm-hmm. you know, the growth is there. So anyway, I'm enjoying this sort of internal journey, as well as I continue to travel as well.
Yeah, we want to talk about that. But I also thank you for letting me jump in with what I consider to be the hardest question, because I think sometimes we think, you know, creativity is a fun thing for the good days, but to actually be able to say that recreating your life when you've gone through something you never expected and never wanted to go through, that's an art in and of itself. And then figuring out what your next step is going to be is an art. And then actually doing some art is an art. So you are, in a way, you're modeling qualities that we all need to find in a world where it's not going to be predictable, and especially as we age, we're not always in the driver's seat. So thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are not. And that was a big message of just, you know, you have to go with the flow. You have to take stock of what, you know, you have and make the best of it. And, you know, be fearless. You know, courage is a big piece, I think, of aging. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And never give up. That's what we're all dealing with right now.
So you have also, you know, again, at some point we should do a dramatic reading of all the different interesting things that you have done or led people through over the past 20 years, 40 years probably. But I love the pictures of the adventure tours that you've been running for women. Do you find them coming? I mean, do any of these lessons that you've just been sharing, do they apply to the women that are coming to your adventure tours? Or is that just about seeing a foreign place and having a good time?
That's a good question. I think that's kind of a personal journey, but we didn't really focus on that. We provided the experiences, but then people could make up what they wanted out of the journey. But I'm looking at my next, since I sold the business last spring, the co-founder, she moved to Portugal. We fell in love with Portugal and she decided to move. So we decided to sell the business. And, but I hung a shingle of Island Jane Journeys, and it's a deeper, immersion into travel experiences where, you know, you're journaling and you're doing art and you're meeting the people. It's not so much of ticking off the World Heritage sites or special, you know, it's more of a pilgrimage.
That sounds fantastic. Have you launched yet, or is it still on the drawing board?
I have a potential new partner, and she just got back from Japan, and so we're looking at some of the experiences that she did. It's still cooking. And in the meantime, I'm pursuing my travel that I want to do personally, going back to my roots to Sweden and spend some time in Norway as well. So, and then Mexico. I went to art school in Mexico years ago.
Really?
I actually, it's so long ago. I used to ride a horse to school, and now the school's in a museum. And
how old were you? Were you in San Miguel, or is that where?
I was in San Miguel, which has completely transformed and grown out of its skin.
But how old were you there when you were studying art?
Let's see. I probably was 22.
It was after your undergraduate
I was still in school. It was a semester.
Oh, wonderful.
International semester that I took in San Miguel.
Did you see yourself becoming an artist? Because I know the naturalist side of you. I haven't had the same exposure to the artist side of you, so I didn't know that part of your background. Did you think you were going to be an artist, or how did that work?
I've always stayed up late at night and goofed around with stuff and experimenting, and you know, and then I got into repurposing junk, and so I've kind of done. I had a show here and in Issaquah, did garden sculptures, salmon, migrating salmon, made out of recycled materials. But, so I guess I never really thought of I'm an artist, because I've just dabbled here and there, but I've had a lot of fun, and it's been definitely a thread in my mosaic of life.
Yeah, well, I think if you are able to look back 40, 45 years and see yourself continuing to experiment and play, you get to say I'm an artist.
Thank you.
You could probably say it anyway. I give people that permission, having never given myself that permission until very recently, but... but obviously it's been a stream. Was the nature, the interest in the environment, ecosystems, nature, was that also part of your early path?
Sally, that's a great question. I have always been a nature girl, and that's the title of my book, Hey Nature Lady.
Hey Nature Lady.
The Art of Living a Creative Life.
Yeah.
And I have always wanted to either be a forest ranger I went to almost every national park in the United States with my parents as a kid, and we each had our jobs. There were five of us, and we set up the tents and cooked the dinner, and we were doing s'mores and playing the harmonica before anybody knew that it was called a s'more. But
And that was that the driver for your path right after college then? When did you start working with the Science Center in Seattle?
Well, some of my earliest summer job was teaching and doing a little art camp at a very fancy resort, watching kids play with clay. Science Center was after college. Spent 5 years at the Pacific Science Center and enjoyed that time thoroughly. And went on and broke off of there, left to start my own business, Island Institute, up in the San Juan Islands. We ran that for over a decade. And my essays are kind of tying together all the little vignettes of experiences, and they all sort of have I realized, oh, there's a real thread here. connection.
Yeah, I think that's one of the gifts that people can have in writing about their lives, writing reflectively, writing a memoir. And as I understand it, this great new book you're writing has 12 essays. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
You said you had an excerpt from one of them.
I do. I brought it along because I was thinking of these days where I was kind of feeling a little less energetic, a little like I had a coming down with something. I don't know. It's just, I think it's just the post election something blues or
the energetic field has really been laden with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, definitely feeling that.
Yeah, and I think anybody who's got a big heart and is sensitive is feeling that. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Because I was like, wait, why am I not waking up? Two cups of coffee and I'm still kind of,
No, I've heard people say who know more about energy and stuff. They just said there is a complex and heavy energy that has set in and will be around with us for some weeks here. And just for those of you who are sensitive, hold on to your horses because it isn't easy, but it can be really creative and fertile as well. Just that we're probably feeling it a lot.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. And that, the title of this one essay that I wrote kind of post Kilauea eruption was called Nothing. And I felt really kind of numb and void, felt the void. And I changed it to be nothing and everything because it, by going down into the void, I arose to a exhilaration of new possibilities. So sometimes it takes that rebirth, that catharsis, I guess. So anyway, I don't know. I mean, I could read a couple of paragraphs if you want.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, nothing and everything. This is a story about nothing and everything. I believe that nothing is the absence of what I might expect. Nothing is illustrated by a void, much like when I have nothing to say or draw, or I draw blank, unable to think of anything to even think about. Today I set out on a walk, a path under a darkening sky in a mossy Pacific Northwest wood. Nothing is with me. I feel numb, blank, and stuck on rock bottom. So I think we've all kind of felt that at times. And, it goes on to kind of transcending that dark space. I'm just skipping ahead a little bit, but giving up on the regular order of life, I continue to walk down the soggy, deserted trail to nowhere. I continue to feel and think of nothing, enslaved to a trough of unconsciousness. Nothing from nothing leaves me feeling empty, but truthfully, I cannot turn off the din of life, nor can I deny that I want order, peace, and grace in both my inner and outer world. And so, and I'll just read one more, and then we'll continue with our chat. Continuing, I slow down, and I lean into the dripping forest, sloughing off the never-ending drone of planes, cars, friction on pavement. The urban cacophony, which occupies and gnaws at my entire inner being, begins to dissolve. Eventually, I take notice of an inner shift occurring in the new silence. A heightened sensation of lightning overwhelms me as I spring to new ground. Feeling somewhat liberated among the towering cedars and firs, I inhale deeply and begin to fill my well.
Beautiful. That's so beautiful.
Thank you.
It also speaks, it really speaks strongly to me right now that in these times of tumult and pain and grief and uncertainty, nature's still there. And you've been nature girl for a long time. And you're reminding us that even when it's black out there, that walk in nature, the walk through Island Center Forest, the walk along the shore, just going out to your backyard can be real restorative.
Absolutely. We used to always say in our programming is be a kid again. That was our slogan, to be curious and don't lose that wonder of life. I mean, it's a privilege to be here, and our tape measure gets shorter and shorter.
I love that. And because I was going to ask you if you were leading a group of us despondent ones, out into Island Center Forest, how could you encourage us to get out beyond ourselves and kind of open our eyes? What would you have been doing in your nature walks with groups years ago that might be useful here?
Well, I think it might have changed from years ago, because years ago I would probably be more interested in like identifying things or, how, ethnobotany, how plants were utilized or could be, what's edible and so forth. But now I think it's more taking on a little bit of a walkabout. So a little bit of a solo time where you sit and be still and observe what's close, and maybe using journal or some art materials. But just observe and just be a sponge.
Mm-hmm. I am hearing the seeds for a great new Jane Howard program. I hope you're hearing them too, because I think that that gift that you have of really getting excited by nature and experiencing nature, and leading people into nature, combined with the new Jane who wants to be a little quieter and spend some time with art and noticing in new ways. I mean, that is an amazing combo. And I think it could really be helpful to not just take people on, you know, here are the trees kind of nature walks, but come be here and we'll create a container that allows you to have an experience that will be very soul filling. I mean, I'm signing up.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, that's what you think? I mean, you're the one, really.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. I would be honored. I think that, you know, it's a time in our lives to harvest what we've been through and, you know, to just really inhabit our solitude and take stock of, you know, who we are, coming into our own. This life has been a journey, and just instead of being so busy all the time and out there, take some time to really just have a vision within.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You've got a book in the works. You've got 12 essays. I'm looking forward to seeing it, you know, in the near future. What's it been like to write a book? Because that's a different skill set than being out as an adventurer, experiencer, extrovert, taking on the world. Writing is often a solo craft that makes you stick to your chair and spend time really thinking and crafting. So was that a hard transition, or was it just part of your natural evolution? And what's it been like to write a book?
Boy, that's a great question. Well, I knew I had... I took a class, and that helped. And then I took the class again. And just being surrounded by people that would read or listen to and edit and give feedback on your writing was really inspiring. And when I would be writing and rewriting, I would feel guilty if the sun was out and I was not outside. I'd be like, what am I doing sitting in this computer and wasting a day, a precious day? So, no, I just felt like, I would love to have it inspire other people. And I know I've touched lives throughout my life in teaching, but it's more of a memoir for me, like to review, oh my gosh, I did that. I didn't remember that I actually did that or felt that. And I did have some journals that did not get destroyed because they were with me. In the lava. So I was able to reference some things. Otherwise, I mean, my memory is not good. So I was like, I'm going to forget this if I don't write it down. So that was probably part of the inspiration.
Are you nervous about bringing it out to the world beyond your, you know, immediate band? Well, you have a big band of friends, but, you know, what's it like to think about bringing it out to the world?
I am not nervous about it because I don't really want to be judged. I don't care about being judged. I'm just judging myself. I mean, I guess bringing it out to the world, I feel like I really wanted to illustrate. And then that gets into a whole nother, like, oh, how much time am I going to put into this? But no, I'm excited about it and see where it goes. I have no designs, just like with some of my art shows, about selling anything. It is not my motivating factor at all. So, but if I work with undergraduate women at the University of Washington currently, and if I can share it with them and inspire them to look at possibilities in their life and appreciate where they are in their pathway, then I'm happy.
Well, that's fantastic, because I have seen the pictures of you working with middle-aged plus women on the adventure tours and stuff, and I know that you've worked with kids over time, but to really be able to speak to this generation that's so in formation, you know, college students right now coming into a world that's can be hard to understand, and to be able to infuse a bit of your energy and insight while they're figuring out their paths. I think it's brilliant. What a gift.
Yeah, I look at it as if it could be a gift, and it could, I hopefully it will be entertaining.
Entertaining too, yeah. Entertaining always.
Definitely entertaining, because yeah. A lot of my, they're very short essays, you know, they're 500 to 1200 words.
Right.
And yeah, it's just little vignettes of, think about this, and did anything ever like this happen to you? And
yeah. When can we expect to see it?
Oh, ooh, pressure.
No pressure. Just where are you in the, because there's the whole world of reflecting and then the writing and then editing. And then there's this thing called publishing.
Yeah.
And frankly, it lives in its own world. So it lives by different rules. It has a different schedule and a totally different energy. So I don't know if you've entered that world and where you are in it. And
well, I no doubt need a coach. And I found a gal that I love to work with. And there's a woman on the Big Island where I was in Hawaii that specializes in kind of formatting. And, you know, so the nuts and bolts of it, I think I will farm out for sure. And we'll just see where it goes. Yeah. I would hope to have it out by spring.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. It's great, because in this world of independent publishing, they're now resources that you can find through connections or online that can do so much of the work that an old publisher used to do before. So you don't have to wait, and you can get the help you need your way, which is really great.
Yeah, this is self-publishing. I mean, I'm not going to go shopping for a publisher.
It's no. I had some conversations. I talked to Rondi Lightmark, and I had a great conversation about what we call independent publishing. Because it just doesn't make sense to spend your precious life and 2 or 3 years of your precious life trying to track down the possibility of a publisher in a world that's satiated with people trying to find publishers. Why not take it into your own hands and get it to the people who will totally love to see this? It'll be so great. Well, as we wrap, what else would you like to share? What would you like to have me ask you, or what would you like to say about where you are now or the road ahead?
Oh, where am I now? So I'm in a little bit of a pause, reflect, and redirect phase. And so we'll see where that goes. Kind of turning over rocks and seeing what, you know, new growth path I want to take. You know, I taught purpose workshops forever in Hawaii. And so I've been putting myself through my own workshops. You know, what are my gifts and talents, and how do I want to utilize those? And I think just it's a winding path. It always has been. And I think that just every day through the way I dress or what I choose to do or the way what I choose to, expect, I think that is going to be colorful. It's going to be, you know, filled with adventure and inspiration from nature and, no judgment, giving myself permission.
Well, you really are an exemplar of what it is to live a creative life as we age. Because, you know, I could describe the 30-year-old Jane who was abundant in energy and out there and discovering and great fun to be with. And, you know, and yet our bodies change, our lives change. We learn different things. And to continue to those deep roots that you have in travel, in nature, in adventuring, and combine that with this older wisdom, it's really a beautiful combination. So I have a phrase I love to say, and it's that your most creative work is your life. And I think that you You exemplify that in spades. And I thank you for your time. And we'll have episode notes up. And as soon as you get close to publishing those essays, I'm going to go back and revise those notes so that everybody, knowing how big a fan club you still have on the island, I want everybody to be able to read your writings.
Oh, thank you, Sally. I so appreciate that. Makes me feel very good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for listening. I look forward to being back soon and bringing you another conversation with an island creative who can show you how it's possible to embrace your muse and live your richest and most creative life. Till then, thanks for joining us, and thanks to Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FM, for hosting this show. I'm your host, Sally Fox, and I look forward to being with you soon.